Man, The Conspiracy of Popular Culture. Insignificant popular culture. Conspiracy of the Insignificant. Yes, welcome once again. PQ River here. Oh, man. Frank was talking the other day on his show about forgotten science fiction TV shows with big sprawling casts, and immediately into my mind popped a program that I probably, God knows the last time I thought of it, and the last time I saw it has to have been, 1972, 1973? Young PQ River, watching that old TV again. I was raised by the television. You can tell the glow of a cathode ray, even though I don't own a TV today. Oh man, a good black and white TV makes me feel so warm inside, and this show I probably watched in black and white would be my guess, and I am talking about a program, believe it or not, created by science fiction writer Harlan Ellison with help from Ben Bova. It was a Canadian show. It was called Star Lost.
The giant Earthship Ark, drifting through deep space over 800 years into the far future. Its passengers, the descendants of the last survivors of the dead planet Earth, locked in separate worlds, heading for destruction. Unless three young people can save the Star Lost.
Post-apocalyptic. The world is gone. Let's see. What does it say here on, Wikipedia? It was a Canadian-produced science fiction television series devised by Harlan Ellison, broadcast in 1973 on CTV in Canada, and syndicated to local stations in the United States. Yeah, I think it was on maybe WOR or WNEW. The show's setting is a huge generational colony spacecraft called the Ark, which is gone off course. Many of the descendants of the original crew and colonists are unaware, however, that they are aboard a ship. The series experienced a number of production difficulties, and Ellison ended up disowning it before the first episode even aired. Apparently there was a special effects concept that when they finally rented the studio and tried to implement, the studio was too small to implement the special effects they planned on using, and a bunch of other fun things like that. I'm going to give you the link to a review of the complete DVD set, because this guy really gives you all the information that I would just be redundant to. The other interesting thing about this show is it starred Keir Dullea, who starred, of course, in 2001 A Space Odyssey a couple years before that, and another great lost science fiction show, and I think once you look into it, you might even think, hey, this should be revisited and redone. It's a really great idea that the Earth is coming to an end, and they decide to build these huge pods all attached on a giant spacecraft, and each one is separated from all the others, and each preserves a specific culture of humanity. So, you know, you get the Mennonite one, and I guess there would be one with Chinese culture, you know, etc. and so forth. Anyhow, once again, consult the listing on SUG, and there will be a link to a very incisive DVD review that will give you all the cool trivia and information you could ever need about The Star Lost.
Yeah. It is not in my nature to be quiet.
This is the answer.
I hope you like it.
Are you completely out of your mind?
Oh.
Yes, yes.
Get me a stick.
You have good reason to be afraid.
Well, I would have been glad to hear.
I will.
Oh man, and the weird popular culture continues. I have in my grubby little hand a copy of the December 1953 Popular Mechanics magazine, written so you can understand it. And it's got some sort of weird, I don't know, it's like this vehicle going up the side of a mountain, and it's an open-face industrial thing. It looks Building Canada's Colossus, page 96. So, of course, we have to run and wonder what the heck they're talking about here. So we go to page 96, Colossus in the Wilderness. In the heart of British Columbia, faraway land of musical names, Tatsa and Utsa Lakes, Kitimat, Kimano, and Nechako, men and machines are hewing out one of the giant engineering feats of the century. They have sent a river coursing 10 miles through a mountain to plunge a half mile down to turbines inside the mountain. The end product? Aluminum. That's right, this from my flipping through, aluminum's a big deal. There's some sort of aluminum skyscraper. The Alcoa building in downtown Pittsburgh, which I wonder if is still there. That is a bizarre-looking structure from the photos. And I remember being in Pittsburgh, but I don't remember seeing it. And yes, do your Christmas shopping. We got some 1953 suggestions for Christmas gifts. A powerful slingshot with three rubber bands instead of two shoots arrows, stones, and pellets can kill small game. Things, a projector, but they don't tell you who made any of these things. This is really a strange suggestion. There's pages and pages. There's a blender, but it doesn't tell you who made it. There's just a picture of it. Oh man, look at the advertising opportunities that were missed way back in the day in 1953. I guess back then you could actually walk into a store where the person you know and have dealt with all your life worked, and you would show him the picture, and he would say, oh yeah, well that's right over here. We could order you in one of those and have it here by Christmas, no problem. Oh, man. And then immediately I open up to a page for Reynolds Do-It-Yourself Aluminum. And the ad has Mr. TV's Mr. Peepers, Wally Cox, who I only remember from Hollywood Squares, and even that's an obscure 60s memory. And it has people making end tables, wall protectors, fishing nets, and house numbers. All when you look for this self-service rack containing Reynolds Do-It-Yourself Aluminum. I have no clue. They don't give me enough information to tell you what the product is. And this is amazing. We got an article on modernizing old furniture. You can add a grained plastic veneer, and they turned a useless old record player into a useful and attractive buffet. Oh man, that's a beautiful old phonograph they ruined and turned into a nondescript piece of 50s stuff. Oh, television, projectors, widescreen 16 millimeter movies, all of these things that for then I guess were very modern. And now, well, what can I tell you now? We are living in the future that these people perceived as flying cars and Jetson-like contraptions, and, well, the one miracle we do have is this here internet that brings you this. And speaking of which, this program was produced and brought to you by Rubber Room Entertainment Laboratories of Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. The Overnightscape Underground. Me, I'm the spokesperson for those Rubber Room people, Peaky Ribber, thanking you for listening and asking you if you would be so kind as to tune in again real soon.